and welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Well, the Iditarod is wrapping up, but we've used the opportunity to talk science with our science guy, Dr. Gordon Snyder. And these last few weeks with the Iditarod going on, Gordon has covered dog paws, dog hydration, and even yellow snow. And we just received an email from Gordon about another phenomena, pink snow. So, what's that all about? We ask our science guy. Here we are with our science guy, Dr. Gordon Snyder. Gordon, it's not been that long ago since you were with us. We talked about dog paws. We talked about hydration and yellow snow.
Right. And everybody needs to worry about that phrase, don't eat yellow snow.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, we've been doing this during the Iditarod, and the Iditarod has just wrapped up. We've got the champion, Ryan Reddington, whose grandfather is the father of the Iditarod.
Super circle.
Yes. And so mushers are coming in right now as we speak. But we started doing science associated with the Iditarod, and since technically it's still the Iditarod, we continue. We're trying to get every bit out of you that we can why the Iditarod's going on. So,
well, and then the snow melts.
And that's something we're going to get into a little later on, because Alaska has had record snows. It's going to be really interesting to talk to you about that. The thing that you had emailed me, now we've got dog paws, and we've got hydration, we've got yellow snow, which you can find our Big Alaska Show podcast with you just two or three weeks ago. But now we've got pink snow.
Or watermelon snow. Have you ever heard of it?
Never.
Well, it's been around, obviously, since almost the creation of time. It's the most amazing little situation, just like everything when you stop and you look closer. What is happening? I sent you a couple of pictures, and this time of year, after the snow accumulation and we start to get the longer days and things are warming up, well, the snow starts to melt. And depending, mostly on the West Coast, I haven't seen much about this on the East Coast. My dog is barking.
You and Mike Ford, every time...
It's because he lives in my office.
Same with Mike, but his are in like echo chambers and they're much larger.
Okay, well, we'll continue here. So what I wanted to say is that over time, as the snow starts to melt, it's evaporating off, but there's a liquid layer on there, on the snow, and you know, it's all that little slushy stuff. And once that liquid layer starts, then something that sort of started at the beginning of life on the planet, green algae starts to inhabit that surface up there where it is. It's in a dormant stage. It's like a seed pod called cyst, a gamete. Now, it's green, and green is what the chlorophyll is. And so to protect itself, the algae needs some sunscreen. Okay? And the sunscreen is carotenoids, which is the like carrots. You know, you eat carrots because it protects your eyes from UV and your skin from UV. Carotenoids. Well, what the blue-green algae do is to protect themselves from getting sunburnt until the area has warmed up enough to where they can actually start to grow and multiply. They change color with this carotenoid substance and turn red, okay? And the red blocks the UV from destroying the green chlorophyll, which is how they synthesize and live. So this time of year, when you're walking around and the snow's starting to melt and starting to recede, everybody's cheering. But if it's in an area where it's not all covered with mud and slime, okay, you'll start to notice this pinkish color. In certain areas, it gets strawberry or watermelon colored, okay? And these are not just little dog patches of yellow snow. These will be acres and acres and acres, whole sides of hillsides, glaciers. All of this stuff is just this green algae protecting itself from the UV radiation with the sunlight just hitting it, okay, as the snow's melting, and to keep it from dying. it's adapted like this all 4 or 5 billion years ago. So now what's happened is that, you know, and you've skied enough and been out on the snow enough that when the snow is pure white, it's called albedo. That's the reflectivity of the snow. When it's white, most of the radiant energy, the sunlight, is reflected off. That's why when you go skiing, you got to put suntan lotion under your chin as well as on your face, because the reflected snow is sunburning the bottom of your chin, which you normally don't think about. Well, those are all weird things. But if you look at where we're going with this stuff, dark snow, like the stuff they plow on the streets, and then that gets gravel and, you know, sand on it, and it just gets dark. Well, the dark snow starts to melt faster.
Sure.
Why? Because the sunlight is hitting it in dark colors all the way to black. Black absorbs all the radiant heat. White reflects it. That's the albedo. So now you have these huge snowfields all over the mountains. Okay. Ready? Here comes all the beautiful white light hitting the bright, bright snow. And then pretty soon that snow starts to grow this pink algae. Okay. And when that happens, it holds more heat, so it causes the water to evaporate quicker, or the snow to melt and evaporate quicker, henceforth increasing the speed at which the snow melt happens. And in some cases, this is a bad thing because the snow melts faster and then it's gushing down in the flood zone instead of coming out in the summertime. So at any rate, that's the concept of this pink snow. And like I say, it's been around for a long time. So now when you're like out at Potter's Marsh, okay, or anywhere around town where it's that soggy, boggy stuff, you know, around edge lakes and stuff, as that little snowfield melts and you get that little, well, what do I say, little interface between the piece that drips down, and then there's this little pool of water. Well, in that pool of water could be jillions of little microorganisms getting ready to explode once all the water's melted.
They call it watermelon snow just because of the color?
The really intense patches, it does. It gets that reddish watermelon color. Some people, I've read a couple stories about this. Some people have said that it sort of smells fruity when you walk by it, okay? But it's like, don't eat yellow snow, don't eat watermelon snow. And you might ask, why is that?
Why is that?
Because it's a laxative.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you don't want that while you're out there hiking and skiing.
Who knows? That may be good to know, you know? I mean, it may be nature's way of,
you don't want your kids eating it, that's for sure.
That's really interesting. I've never seen that. Mainly because I've never looked for it.
Well, that's partially it. And, you know, it's at the latter ends of snowmelt that it really takes off because, you know, when you're up in the mountains and skiing in that, you're usually on good, nice snow. You're not skiing in this old crusty pocket and stuff that's, last of the season. But now that you're aware of it, you can spot it in different places. There are pictures of it actually growing in snowfields in cities. You know, algae's everywhere, right? And green algae is like one of the most abundant things on the planet. That's why when I told you we wanted to talk a little bit about watermelon, snow, it's another piece of this interface between biology and water.
One thing you've always talked about, you're a waterhead, everything starts with water. One thing everything has in common that it exists is water.
Yep.
And one of the things that Amy and I like to do, you mentioned Potter Marsh. Amy and I like to go to this wetlands little park that has a boardwalk, and Amy and I like to walk it. I would say it's about a mile and a half when you walk it from end to end. But we like to walk it because ever since we've been doing these little wetland tutorials with you, we've learned so much about how important wetlands are and how much there is going on all the time. You know, during the summer, we see all the birds come out and they've got their babies and all that action is happening that's very obvious. Right now, we've had a major snowfall, in fact, a record snowfall in Alaska. but there's things happening right. that we don't see, like the algae forming as it's forming on the edge. And as a result, our little lessons we get with you, each time we take a walk, we notice something different. And it's really cool.
Remember a few episodes back, we talked about algae and the small micro communities growing on the bottom of glaciers.
Yes.
And we talked about how that could be because it was so cold and they've adapted. But it's now go back to this thing with the snow and the algae. Same thing happening with those micro colonies in those little frosty areas in the bottom of the glacier is that the sunlight can come through that glacier and gives them enough sunlight to be able to do their chlorophyll and to reproduce and grow.
Wow.
Where over on the snow, it's got so much sunlight coming through that it has to protect itself from getting burned up. There it is. In one case, the glacier filters it out and gives it the sunlight that it needs to make these little distinct colonies grow. In other case, it's a sunscreen.
Awesome.
I just wanted to put that in there about that little community underneath glaciers. You know, that's why the whales head up there after a fashion, is because all the lower organisms feed on them and then the whales feed on them and, you know, life goes on.
The thing you've always stressed to us is how big Alaska is when it comes to wetlands and the importance of wetlands and what we have, the resource we have. And so what you're doing, even though it's in northern Idaho, it's applicable to, well, any wetland.
Because a wetland doesn't have a territory or a government or a mayor. It just exists at the edge of the water, okay? And wherever you find edges of water, you'll find wetland. One of the things that, you know, I was watching one of the football games a while back, and it was like Tampa Bay, say. And they show you the beautiful city with the lights and all this stuff scattered around. All I see now is concrete walls holding back, no wetlands. And, you know, here's a beautiful little path that you walk along, but they forgot to make the interface with the water a wetland. It's just big rocks and barricades, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, someday we're going to think about the importance of wetlands, because it's like this little red algae shows you this is the beginning of life coming out of winter. It's just amazing stuff. So anyhow, all wetlands are related. And when it comes to Alaska, primarily if you measured all of the wetlands around all of the landform of the United States, Alaska tops everything in the U.S., just up in Alaska, because of all of the huge amount of coastline and all those interfacing boggy areas, all wetlands.